If you've just joined us, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutan. Earlier this week, Health Director General Datuk Dr. Hisham Abdullah revealed that Malaysia only has 19 days supply left of some PPE items, that's personal protective equipment used by our medical frontliners. Now, does Malaysia need to adopt a strategy similar to that of the US Defence Production Act? Now, this is where the federal government can dictate what equipment is produced and where it goes. Joining us on the line now to discuss this further, we have Dr. Raja Rasaya, Distinguished Professor of Economics at the Asia-Europe Institute at University of Malaya. Good evening. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us tonight. So you wrote an article about this, about the US Defense Production Act. That act was actually passed during the Korean War. Why is it that you argue that Malaysia needs a similar law to mobilize production of medical equipment?
At that time when I did that with Dr. Kaur, our feeling was about taking care of essentials. I think now we have a broader way of looking at the matter. I think it cannot be seen in isolation because the war in Korea did not have the same elements of a pandemic where the spread of a virus could not be contained as it is now. It is just spreading through the whole world is affected. So in that sense, I think the way we are looking at it now is to incorporate all three, including your starting point about how to revive supply chains.
Raj, could you help us understand, you know, the downside of a strategy like this? I mean, even if it was a kind of hypothetical, instead of, say, mobilizing production through some cooperative means, through persuasion, you know, using our existing diplomatic relations to make sure that those supplies come from where they were traditionally sourced. Why those strategies as opposed to one that allows the national government to dictate terms to local and domestic producers?
I think if you're just looking at the production of protective equipment, then it relates directly to the pandemic. I think we have a broader way of looking at this, and what that actually means is that if you take two sides of a square or of a trajectory between an x-axis and a y-axis, you're looking at if the two situations here, if we focus too much simply on the pandemic, simply on containing COVID-19, then we may compromise on the economy. And if we focus too much on the economy, we may compromise on the threats, challenges posed by COVID-19. Now, we need to take a balance between the two, but recognizing that both are critical. You can't have a situation where we just say, well, we'll take our health first, only because the economy will contract. The flip side of a complete focus on the pandemic to make sure there's a complete lockdown and that nobody is interacting with each other. And that would actually mean that you will now have factories closed. You will have very little transportation except for those dealing with the virus containing people, the spread of it, as well as those that deal with bringing supplies to patients or for testing, screening, and so on. Now, taking that to extreme poles, then we'll have to take a balance from there. And while taking a balance is not a simple arithmetic exercise, we'll need to see that even if we took a middle line, we'll have to make sure that we have taken all precautions to see that we are not compromising on the health side of it. Right. Likewise, if we're taking a very strong focus on the health part of it, we are not going to compromise on the economy.
Okay.
Simply because if you lose demand, and now that you mentioned about the supply chain, it's unlikely that you'll get it back. Yes.
Sorry, continue. So if we lose demand, you're saying that it's unlikely we're going to get it back?
Yes. Say, for example, you have a whole value chain, and that one important stage of it is supplied, the components to which is supplied by Malaysian companies. Now, if that the buyers and suppliers waiting for that supply are unlikely to wait for Malaysia to scrap the lockdown and start producing. They're not going to wait. So you may lose that sort of demand, which may then affect our export, which may then affect our the GDP of our gross domestic product. That's one aspect to look at.
So let's look at the government's decision then to actually open up some aspects of the economy. Many of those sectors are related to international trade. Are you happy with the way they're thinking through this or strategizing the reopening of the economy?
To some extent, yes. But the problem we have is really in terms of how they're implementing these things. For example, they have now identified certain sectors that need to be open, but they're not revealing very much to those affected. See that they have to actually go and register and wait for an approval. And they have not come up with a plan B in case it will take too long or in case this information would not reach them. So instead, what they're doing is, and an example, a very simple example will be the laundry. Now, the laundry service has been opened up, as you all very much know, except for barbers and so on. They've gone back to keep them closed because of the proximity involved. But if a guy running and operating a laundromat does not seek officially permission to resume operations, he or she can get fined, I think 5,000 fines. Now, this sort of information flow is very much restricted here, and it's a problem. In the end, I feel that the authorities concerned should always rule in favor of the operators involved, because it's for them these things are being done, instead of just imposing fines. Likewise, if you have the case of exports, and I was really surprised why they ended up closing earlier gloves, as an example, gloves, masks and so on. Gloves, we are very well known to be among the world's biggest exporters in gloves. Soft gloves, for example, is one of the leading exporters of it. Now, why should you then close that firm? Now, of course, the counterfactual argument is if you have workers going there and they carry this virus, then it will spread. Indeed, that is right. Now, the METI minister, YB Admin, announced that the workers will be screened. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, to open up the glove factory to me is the right thing to do now. We are not in a situation of having COVID-19 completely out of control. In fact, there's some sort of trend suggesting that it's on the downward side, if you follow what Dr. Noor Hisham has been announcing.
Right.
Now, I would think you should carefully open these factors. The glove industry will be a classic example. But you make sure that the workers involved are screened and are organized in such a way that their transport and where they enter and where they exit are all somehow monitored. Now, that would require some sort of announcement that makes them feel comfortable. I was talking to some of them. They said they're not very clear how this will be done. They're not very clear.
So there's a lack of information. You're saying there's a lack of information there, is it?
Yeah, okay. There's a lack of information. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to get you to stay on the line and we're going to continue this discussion more on the impact of COVID-19 on global supply chains and the opportunities that lie in the post-COVID world. Stay tuned to consider this.